Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, Proverbs 12. Notice with me, if you would, verse number 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Now, we're going to look at several different verses this morning, but we're looking at the word thoughts. Now, let me give you these two definitions, one Hebrew word, one Greek word. Obviously, Proverbs is Hebrew, and we'll look at a verse in 2 Corinthians, and it is in Greek. And so the word or the definition for the Hebrew word in this verse is a device or a purpose. So it is something that you are mulling over in your mind, and there's something you're trying to formulate in your mind. It's a thought. Part of the reason why we have to be careful of our thoughts is because we formulate things that can be bad. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin. And so remember this, you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow a thought and you reap a deed. So you and I have to be very careful of our thoughts, and we have to teach our children to be careful of their thoughts. Now, I want you to notice, and we're going to look at that this morning, because, you know, in Family Month, things we think about, a lot of marriages have been ruined because a husband or a wife begins to think about what if, or what has he done, or what is she doing, or I wonder what, and their thoughts run away with them. And their thoughts change their behavior because they assume something is bad. There's a device going on in their mind. Now listen, the Greek word for thought is inward reasoning. It is inward reasoning. It's where you're mulling it over. And the Hebrew word is like there's a device. It's almost like you are trying to get to someplace. You've got a purpose of what you're thinking about. Our minds, typically, we don't just have mindless thoughts. Maybe when you're trying to sleep and you're laying there and your mind is just kind of settling in, maybe those are mindless thoughts. But when we have thoughts, they have a purpose. They have a device to them. It's for a purpose, a plan. And so this Greek word is the word for using your processes to consider something, to try and reason out to a conclusion. That's why thoughts are dangerous. We're reasoning out to a conclusion, I'm going to, and then a deed is formed. And so you'll notice, if you would, I want to give you this. Number one, God knows every thought. You know that. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Psalm 94. I want you to see this very quickly. And there's a lot of them. Psalm 94, 1 Chronicles 28:9, Psalm 139:2. But I want you to notice Psalm 94, and look with me, if you would, Psalm 94, verse number 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Now, I want you to understand, all of us are born sinners. Our default is sin. Our default, in other words, somebody tell me what a default is. Somebody tell me what a default is for a computer. What is a default for someone? Somebody tell me what that is. Can anybody tell me? What does it mean, a default? Yes, sir? What's that? Yeah, it's like a factory setting. And so when Adam ate of that fruit and disobeyed the Lord, the factory setting became sin. So all of us in this room, our factory setting is sin. And our thoughts then, if we're in the flesh, are vanity. They don't have a value to them. Vain means they're empty. well, so-and-so did this, and you know, I want to pay him back. You know, and we think about how we can pay somebody back. So the thought is vanity. It's useless to the Lord. Now, what we have to do is reset our default to a spiritual default. And that takes time, and that takes studying God's Word. You see, a default is based upon calculations and a principle that this is what it wanted to do. So you and I have to have calculations and principles according to God's Word and say, I don't want my thoughts to be vain anymore. I want to think good thoughts. We're going to get to that in a minute. But I want to retrain my processes. I want to use a different calculation instead of somebody tell me what our nature is. It is what? What's the nature of man? Spiritual or fleshly? It's fleshly. So our default is about us. What's in it for me? How can I pay somebody back? So the new default for someone spiritual and someone that's godly or trying to grow in the Lord is I want my default to be not for my sake, but for His sake, for the sake of others. What are the two greatest commands? Let's use those to help us reset our sinful default to a spiritual default. What are the two greatest commands of Scripture? Number one, love the Lord with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So now if we use those new commandments, those new reasonings and calculations to say, now all of my thoughts ought to be about what's best for Arnie. What's best for the Lord? What's best for Nancy? How can I be better to Floyd? How can I help out Clint? It's no longer, I wonder where Clint is. I wonder why he's not here at church. I mean, all the negative things that happen. Now, he's here, so I can tease with him, okay? So all I'm trying to say is that our thoughts, humanly speaking, and the default setting is sinful. That's the reason he said, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning is you've got to work on your thoughts, or you're naturally going to think the wrong things. That's the way sin made us. That was one of the things that happened when we, through Adam, chose to disobey the Lord. So our thoughts naturally are vain. Well, guess what? Your children's thoughts are vain. Your grandchildren's thoughts are vain. So we have to do something to help them begin to reprogram those thoughts on, I wonder what the Lord wants me to do. I wonder what's best for my little sister. I wonder what's best for my little brother. And so as a result, we begin to change our thought process to where it's no longer selfish, but it's spiritual. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in considering this, look, take your Bible and turn to Mark 7:21. I want you to see Mark 7:21, and we're just going to take a little bit of information from these passages to realize that you sow a thought and you reap a deed. Look, if you would, Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the heart of man, his thoughts proceed, and here it is, proceed evil thoughts. Out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. You might could say, instead of the heart of man, you might say the default of man, the sinful nature of man. Out of our sinful nature proceed evil thoughts. And so keep in mind, for within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. Now watch this. Adulteries, fornications, murders, and these are actions now. So it goes from internal thoughts to actions. And those actions are played out in the mind first, 99% of the time. How many have you ever heard of visual reps? Anybody heard of that? How many ever heard of that? Visual reps. Well, football players they get in their rooms and they watch film study, and they have visual reps, mental reps. They're trying to figure out if that guy comes and cuts this way, I got to be ready for him to go that way. That's his normal state. He goes out and cut. That's his route 70% of the time. So I have to be careful, and I've got to. So mentally, I'm going to go over that. Well, you're driving home, and you've had a difficult day. You've got to do some mental reps and say, I got to have a better spirit. When I get home, I want to have the right spirit. When I drive into the driveway, I'm going to go up to my wife and say, boy, it's good to see you today. I didn't think much about you, but I'm working on it because I want to think more about you because I love you. You know, you're trying to be careful what we say. We have to review what we're going to say. Mental reps. Well, that mental reps, those are thoughts. If that guy pushes me one more time, we're playing basketball, I'm gonna nail him. Mental rep. You're driving your car and somebody cuts you off and they're weaving back and forth. And if that guy cuts me off one more time, I'm gonna call the police. I'm gonna mental reps. If she says that to me one more time, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. Mental reps. We have to learn. The default is always sinful. I got to change the default. Is what does the Lord want me to do? How can I please Him and love Him more? And how can I be better to my neighbor? How can I be better to my wife? How can I be better to my husband? How can I be better to others? How can I be better to my children? So I'm going to use those mental reps to make positive actions. You can see here the normal thought of man is vain, and you can see here, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. That's our default. That's our nature. So the spiritual person begins to change those defaults, those reasonings, to the basis is not what's best for me. The basis is what's best for him. Everybody in this room's got to change that. You have to change the root cause of your thoughts, the purpose of your thoughts. Well, when I go to work today, I'm going to make sure that Joe Blow doesn't take advantage of me. I'm going to watch him today. Or I want to make sure that when I see Joe Blow, I try to be positive to him and kind to him. Mental rep. You have to think about doing right. Now, remember this. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow deeds, reap a habit. So you can change your nature, your character. The Holy Spirit is what guides you and I. And as we begin to replicate these thoughts, and the basis is, Lord, I want to please you. I want to be good to my neighbor. Okay, how can I do that? And our thoughts turn into, well, we make a compliment. We are thoughtful towards someone. We do something for them. And they say, well, listen, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And then all of a sudden, you say, well, I'll do that again. You're developing a habit. So the spiritual person is one that their motivation is, I got to love him more. That helps you do the deeds for the right purpose. Remember, thoughts, listen to this. Let me give you the definition. Inward reasoning, design, or purpose. What is your purpose? What are you thinking about, and what's the purpose for it? If we're just mindlessly thinking, or we're always thinking about this or that, we have to learn, I want to use my time wisely. I want to think about how I can better please the Lord. You see, that's the new default for someone that's spiritually minded. It is not, how can I pay somebody back? That's the evil thoughts. Now, let me give you this one. We should invite them. If you really want to change, then, you know, let me give you an example. They were pouring this wall out here up about 20 feet. You know, you can see the concrete wall around the gym. It's up at 30 feet now. It's finished. That wall has concrete in it in every one of those cavities with steel. And every sixth layer or course, it's got two pieces of steel and more concrete to make that wall like a solid wall. Well, if you pour the concrete, the cement in it too thin, it doesn't dry. And it doesn't set up properly and it loses its strength. We are paying an inspector to watch every pour. He'll take it and put it in a can and see the slump on it. The slump is if you pour it and it's too thin, it'll just go like water in it. It was too thin. So it wasn't going to set up. And he sends me an email and sends an email to Miller Brothers and said, hey, they're pouring concrete too thin. It needs to be thicker. They need to put more cement in it. And all of a sudden, I get a call. I call Miller Brothers. I said, we're on it. And the superintendent out there, hey, stop what you're doing. And they caught them and said, you got to change that. And it was just a guy that is not aware of all of the guidelines. He was doing his job, but he wasn't aware that the specs on our plan is a slump of X and an amount of concrete of Y. And so when this tester was checking it, he saw it, stopped it. Now we're assured that we've got a great building because he's out there every day just checking. Now, somebody came up and said, man, Pastor, I sure am glad we got that guy checking. I said, me too. Now, when they were rolling the field, the field is required to be 95% compaction rate. In other words, if they're going to put a turf field on top of this ground, the ground has to be compacted to 95%. In other words, it's almost like a rock. And so he's got a nuclear tester, and I walked out there with him, watched him do it. They pounds it into the ground about 6-8 inches, and it does its thing, and it can tell you how much moisture is in it and how much compaction is in it. I thought it was really cool. He's out there every time they're putting a layer down and rolling over it. Well, he said, well, you got a good field. It's all solid. I checked it all. Well, I said, well, the test is going to be when that concrete truck comes. Now, how many of you have seen the concrete border around the field? It's about 8 inches wide and about 18 inches deep. That's what they'll pull the turf over after they put drains under it and stone, and you can run on it and run all day and it doesn't move. Well, if it's not 100%, if it's not 95% solid, it settles and you get dips in your field. So we tested it to make sure it was all 95%. But the real test is the concrete truck goes around the outside edges and it pours concrete into those little forms. And if that truck leaves marks, you know somebody didn't do their job. So I'm out there watching. I see the truck go out there, I walk around, and that concrete truck goes all the way around the field. You couldn't tell where it's been. And it weighs 80,000 pounds. Wonderful. And then it rained. And you know what happens when it rains. The moisture, now you can't even walk back there. So we have to wait for it to dry out. And so, you know, all I said to say this is that you have to have somebody check it because the nature of man is to get busy, not pay attention. And so if somebody's watching, oh, they help you. A teacher, why did the teacher give a test? To make sure the kids know she's watching. Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? Okay, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 139. I want you to see this. Psalm 139. Notice with me, if you would, Psalm 139. Look at verse 23. Now, this is the challenge, and only the spiritual does this. Okay, watch. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my what? Thoughts. There's the tester. He's checking for slump. He's checking for compaction. He's checking to make sure if you and I do things the right way. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an evil thing. It's just we're not paying attention. And the ground's a little too wet. You can pack it, but it's not packed properly. It comes in at 89%, not 95%. So you're saying, notice verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, what's a way? What is a way? It's a direction. See if there be any wicked direction in me where my thoughts are going a certain direction. Because I don't want to have the wrong direction for my thoughts. So notice, if you would, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Now, how do you change your way? You yield to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, our way. But yet you and I have to give the Holy Spirit the reign of our lives, the reign of our thoughts. If you want to be a great Christian, you and I have to say, search me, O God. Now, I love this word, search. It's a Hebrew word for like a miner. He's got on a miner hat, and he's got on a light, and he's in there, and he's doing the meticulous. He's pounding the rock, see if he can see a vein. Well, it's a miner. He is. You give the Holy Spirit free reign and say, bring your microscope and see if there be any wicked direction in my thoughts. How many of us are willing to do that? And then to say, and Lord, I'll change it. And notice in verse 24, look at what he says. He said, and lead me in the way everlasting. How many of you are sort of amazed that the children of Israel messed up so badly when there was a cloud by day and a fire by night in front of them, leading them? How many have ever had that thought? I mean, would I not like to have a cloud come to my front door when my garage door goes up and I get out of my car? Okay, I'm following you today, and I follow him to the church. That's where I'm supposed to be. And then I get a phone call and somebody's having a surgery. Okay, and the cloud goes and sits over my car and takes me toward the surgery. And so, okay, I know where I'm supposed to be now. And so I go, and I'm sitting in my office and studying, and the cloud's right there. I know I'm supposed to be there. And then pretty soon, the cloud moves. And I said, well, I wonder what I'm supposed to be doing. I wonder what I forgot. Oh, you got a meeting. Oh, I got to go to that meeting. So wouldn't it be wonderful to have the cloud of the Word of God just to guide you every day? Wouldn't that be wonderful? David said, Lord, lead me in the way of everlasting, the way I should go. The Holy Spirit says, I will help you if you yield to me. So yielding the Holy Spirit is here. Because here protects the deeds. But you and I have to be aware that our natural thoughts are vain. Because they're about us. What's best for us. We have to get the Holy Spirit to help us change the way that we think. Read it again. Notice what he says. And search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, I want you to make sure all my ways are right. And so you have to come to the Holy Spirit and say, dear Holy Spirit, you show me. Show me what I should do, and I'll do it. Are we to that point? Are we doing that yet? Have you gotten to the point where you admitted to yourself and to the Lord, Lord, my thoughts are usually wrong. And so I want to yield myself to you. I want you to help me think the right thoughts about what's best for you and what's best for others, and lead me in the way that I should go. Now, notice with me, if you would, we must hate the wrong kind of thoughts. Turn your Bible and turn to Psalm 119. Notice, if you would, 119. Look in verse 113. Psalm 119, 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Now, hate is a strong word. I disdain it. I don't want to be around it. I want it to leave me alone. And folks, you and I have to get to that point. Notice what it was. I hate vain thoughts. What kind of thoughts are those? That's our natural state. You and I have got to get to the point where we hate what we normally think about until we can change the default to say, I sure am glad I thought good about that guy. How many of you have ever had this happen to you? Something happened and you thought something about somebody, and then you got the whole story and you realized your process was wrong. How many ever had that happen to you? Okay. Isn't it wonderful whenever you didn't believe that first series of thoughts? Because you said, I know that guy. That guy's not like that. something must be wrong. And come to find out, there was more to the story. And you look back and say, boy, I sure am glad I thought good about him. Now, that should be every wife toward her husband. Every husband toward her wife, toward his wife. They get the benefit of the doubt. That's the spiritual thing. And you and I have to reprogram ourselves because our nature, and it affects our marriages because our nature is, I wonder what he did, why he did that. I didn't like that. I don't like this. I wonder what he's trying to do. And so our natural thoughts lead us to a conclusion that causes us to doubt our husband or our wife. And we begin to have problems. So you and I have to change the thoughts to, Lord, I want to please you with my thoughts. Would you search me so that I have the right thoughts and my way is correct? I'm going to give my husband the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to love you. I'm going to give my wife the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to love her. I'm going to do my best. Now notice, if you would, here's another one. Take your Bible and look in Psalm 139, 59. Look at this verse. Psalm 119, 59. Notice this. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. So the word of God is the information or the guide that you and I use to learn to think thoughts that allow us to have good deeds. And so he says, look, I thought on my ways. I looked at the direction that I'm going. Is it correct? That goes along with what David said. He said, Lord, search me and see if there be any thought. But I'm going to think on it myself. I'm going to check too. Every once in a while, probably twice a day, I'll put on my helmet, get on my vest, and walk out there and just check, see what's going on. Just because. And probably 30, 40% of the time, I'll catch something. And I'll ask Denver, hey, Denver, what about that? Let me get that squared away. It's not my job, but it's their job. Now, I have to trust them, and they do a great job. The Holy Spirit does a perfect job. But you and I have to decide if we're going to listen to Him. So I thought on my ways. You want to take responsibility for yourself, and then you and I want to say, dear Holy Spirit, you show me, you search me. And so as a result, with your attention to your ways and your thoughts, and the Holy Spirit searching your ways and hearts and tapping you, you're going to be walking right. And then you begin to take God's word and use it as your guide. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, I got to think the thoughts that I'd want him to think about me. And it begins to change us. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Rather than, I'm gonna pay that guy back. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So you and I have to learn these rules and apply them to our thoughts, which will give us the right deeds, which if we stick with it, will give us the right habit. And in the end, it becomes our character. And that's what you're known by. Your testimony is your character. And that character, if it's right and if it's good, then people will give you the benefit of the doubt. Because you've got a testimony. I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 15, verse 26. I want you to see this very quickly. Proverbs 15 and verse 26. Now, I want you to notice, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination of the Lord. Okay, but notice the next phrase. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. So he's saying is that the thoughts of the wicked I hate, but the thoughts of the righteous are right and they're pure of heart. So notice what he says, but the words of the pure, those that have pure thoughts, are pleasant words. Now, we'll close with this. Take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And notice with me if you would. Philippians chapter 4. Now I want you to just think. Here are some of the guidelines that you and I are to use. Now look here. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Remember, the pure, the Lord loves the pure, and their words are pleasant words. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or good, if there be any praise, think on these things. So all of us need to take these ingredients and use them as the new default for our spiritual walk. I'm going to think pure thoughts. I'm going to think thoughts that are just. I'm going to think thoughts, you'll notice, that are of good report. I'm not going to listen to the bad reports. I'm going to think thoughts that are of good report. Now, sure, once something is proven, then that's different. But we don't dwell on the negative even when it's proven. That's why he says, think these thoughts. And notice, if you would, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned, and I hope that you're learning that this morning, and received, and I hope you received it, and have heard, and seen in me. I don't want you to look at me. I want you to find somebody that you look up to, and you say, I see the character of that person. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his thoughts were right at the writing of this scripture. And he says, the things that you've seen me do and say, and he says, notice, in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, you must understand, that's not the only time he said, watch me. He gives a description of how to watch somebody, and the humility is, you got to add this verse to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you'll see the right way that all of us can say, follow me. No one in this room should ever say, follow me, because I'm always going to do right. But here's Paul, and he gives the right standard for examples. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Be a followers of me. And by the way, that word followers is the word imitators, imitats. Followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So as I act like Christ, then you follow that. As I say the right words, then you follow that. Now, this morning, just this conclusion. All of us have thoughts. All of us. Our default are vain thoughts. We have to change the purpose of our thinking to be, I want to please you, Lord. I want to love you more. Hence our theme. And I want to love my neighbor more. Lord, I want to be good to others more. And so the basis of our thoughts begin to change, and then we begin to do things to help people. We begin to think better about people. What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are honest? We begin to do things and think things that are right. And then we oh, hey, I did the right thing today. And then we do it tomorrow. And to do it next week. And pretty soon, somebody is watching you because your character is right. But it'll only be right as long as you get your thoughts and say, search me, O God. If any wicked way, show me so I can get rid of it. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's the mantra of Paul, and that should be of all of us in this room. Have you made the intent, the purpose, the conviction, I'm going to think right? It will change your actions and your testimony. Let's bow our word of prayer. Father, today, I pray that your words would be a blessing to all of us. Lord, that we could see clearly that you hate vain thoughts. But Lord, you love the thoughts of the pure and the pleasant words of the pure. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn to think right in ways that please you. In your name we pray. Amen.